Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Moss and Friends. In today's episode, we're chatting with Michelle Ng about how she's educating women on what is normal and what is not when it comes to healthcare, and how to properly advocate for themselves. We hope you enjoy.
Welcome everyone to another episode of Moss and Friends. Super excited to have our guest, Michelle Ng of New Moon Health. She is the founder and designer of New Moon, and we're so excited to have her. I met Michelle through Dreamers and Doers, which is a private collective and community of women entrepreneurs where we're there to support one another. Michelle joined recently and was just talking about her new company, and we were like, we need to have Michelle on the podcast to talk about what she's doing, and especially because of that interconnection of design as well, where we can kind of dive into designing for healthcare and whatnot. Would you like to add some details to that?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Sarah and Katie. Really appreciate it. And I'm so excited to be on here and chat more about design and about New Moon.
Awesome. Can you tell us a little bit about New Moon Health? Mm-hmm. What's the story behind the company?
Yeah, for sure. So New Moon really came from a personal place. I think that, you know, I personally suffer from, let me backtrack. So what New Moon Health is, it's a femtech company that is trying to help women who suffer from very debilitating gynecological issues such as fibroids and endometriosis to really take back control of their lives, because a lot of them suffer these conditions for years and years. And, you know, they might be dismissed by their doctors. They might be dismissed even by their family members. And unfortunately, a lot of women, you know, when they're little girls, they were being told, you know, when they had their periods and, you know, if it was really painful and if the flow is really heavy, unfortunately, you know, some of the, you know, women in their lives, like their mothers or older sisters, etc., even though they don't mean it, they would normalize their pain and they will normalize what they're feeling, like, hey, this is just part of being a woman and you should just live through it. And so oftentimes I think women actually normalize pain that they shouldn't be normalizing, and they don't know how to vocalize what they're feeling is actually not normal. They don't know how to talk to their doctors. And I mentioned before, when they talk to doctors, they get dismissed by doctors, men and male and female doctors alike. And even, you know, now with the most recent overturn of Roe v. Wade, I think oftentimes women's health and just women's bodies are being, I don't know what's the right way to say, mistreated by the system. I think with Roe v. Wade, you can be pro-life or pro-choice, whichever one, you know, it's your own decisions. But honestly, the way I look at it is, you know, in this overturn, it's like government is trying to tell women what to do with their body. And even though if the pregnancy is because of rape, or if the fetus is not viable, even if it can hurt women's like life, they still have to carry full time, which makes no sense. So I think it's just a lot of historical context. And even for example, I actually learned that recently that women are not actually included in medical research until the late 90s or like 93 or something. So I think there's just a lot of like space for women to, I guess, get help in terms of their health. And that's the idea of New Moon Health, is to help people who are in the spectrum that they need help the most, and yet they're not getting the care that they need. So that's the idea behind New Moon Health. And the reason why I started it is really from a personal place. I myself have suffered from endometriosis and fibroids for, I would say, almost 20 years. And my periods have always been awful. And I just want to be, it could be TMI, but I just want to give a context of like what it means to be like awful periods. Awful periods as in I might be taking all the ibuprofen that I could have, you know, in a day, and I would still be on the floor and not being able to move and in pain for like 1 to 3 days every month. Awful means I would be wearing an overnight pad and a super tampon together, and I will be bleeding through them, you know, let's say at work in a 1 hour conference where my coworkers would be seeing that I'm bleeding onto the floor and I could do nothing about it. And then for me, my doctors actually knew. So I'm actually one of the lucky ones. So oftentimes with these conditions, women are not diagnosed, I think, until like 10 years later from the onset of the symptoms. For me, I was actually lucky. I knew pretty early on that from my ultrasound and MRIs, they came back with fibroids and endometriosis. But the thing with me is my doctors, no matter which doctor I see, they would just tell me to take birth control and take painkillers, and that's it. And then my conditions progressed to the point where it affects me daily, where I, at some point, I wasn't able to even walk because of the pain. I finally saw another OBGYN. We did another ultrasound and MRI. She saw 30 plus fibroids in my uterus. And then I finally had surgery. And then I also had an endometriosis surgery the Friday before last. So my story is actually not uncommon. It's not an outlier. I've talked to other women who, so I'm part of a few Facebook support groups, and I've talked to women who it's the same story over and over again. They would say they have had awful periods since, you know, teenage years, either that they don't know is not normal, or that they bring up to their doctors, doctors dismiss them. And then their symptoms just progress to the point where one day they will land in ER, and the next thing they know is that doctors would tell them to get a hysterectomy or to remove their ovary. And that's not what we want to do, you know, because that has a lot of implications. People can just basically be infertile. It will trigger early menopause. There's a lot of health implications. It's not just let's take out your organs and that's it. And so this is, you know, the reason why I'm trying to build this company is to basically help educate women on what is normal and what is not, on how to advocate for themselves, on how to find the right doctors who listen to them, so that we can avoid, you know, years of suffering, and we can avoid having women's organs taken out because it's too late.
Definitely, definitely. And it feels like, you know, the story you just like told us of like how New Moon Health came to light from your personal side, but even from interactions you've had with other women, just from a lack of information to a lack of care that, as you mentioned, is just seen throughout the system. And with recent events with the overturn of Roe v. Wade, you know, there's this increase of individuals speaking out against the outcomes that of just it not focusing only on abortion. There's a whole plethora of things that kind of intertwine with it. Mm-hmm. And even when we speak about endometriosis, it's like ectopic pregnancies are usually a higher risk for individuals with endometriosis. And many times, you know, the clinical care that needs to come out of that is an abortion because of the possibility of ruptures and it becoming extremely life-threatening to women. So that's just like even one example of that. Can you kind of explain, and I know you explained it a little bit through the lens of your experience, but can you explain to some listeners to better understand what the condition of like endometriosis is? Because I know that it can span in like a spectrum of ways that it can show up, as well as like what fibroids are.
Yeah, Yeah, for sure. So endometriosis is basically a condition where the tissue that it's very similar to the tissue that line the uterus, they, for whatever reason, we still don't know why, they grow out of the uterus and onto such as like ovaries, fallopian tubes, bowel, bladder, etc. So what does that actually mean? It means that your organs will be then fused together, bind up together because of the endometrious tissues. It means that when endometrious tissues are on your fallopian tubes or on your ovaries, it can damage them so that you will actually not be able to get pregnant. It means that if endometriosis is found on your bowel, some people actually need to have a portion of their colon cut out. Then they'll be need to wear a bag for the rest of their lives, right? And so there's just a lot of implications about endometriosis. And not only that, you know, it can cause extreme fatigue. Endometrious tissues can be found even on other areas that's outside of the immediate pelvic area, such as like lungs, where, you know, people would actually like it hurts in that area. And so it can cause like leg pain, etc., preventing people to walk. It's a really horrible disease, and it affects 1 in 10 women. And unfortunately, we just know very little about it, and there's no cure. Even if you do surgery, which is the excision surgery, it might still come back. So that's endometriosis. With fibroids are basically benign tumors. And the tumors can grow to the point of like grapefruit size. And then it can really distort your uterus. It can, you know, it can grow inside a muscle, it can grow inside the uterus cavity, which would make it very difficult to get pregnant. If it grows like outside, it can get like twisted and cause a lot of pain. So, and again, we don't know why fibroids exist. Supposedly a lot of women get fibroids, but a big portion of them have fibroids and have very debilitating symptoms, such as really, really heavy periods and painful periods. And yeah, again, there's no cure. If you go in and do surgery, so you can do it laparoscopically, you can do it like open. I had an open then. So basically it's like C-section, it's like giving birth. I have an 8-centimeter incision, and they might come back again. So both are very under research conditions.
Wow. And can you sort of dive into what it's like as someone who's designing a product for something with so many unknowns, the experience of, I would imagine you talk to a lot of people suffering from these different conditions and symptoms and variations of what you're describing. And then translating that into a product and a business and the challenges and also opportunities that you see?
Yeah. So in terms of Newman, I really approach it with the lens of like from a personal experience, first of all. So how I'm approaching it is I have some very early intuition as to what it should be that could help women like myself. And so with these, you know, early prototypes, and then I would go basically use a test with different women. So there are a couple components to this Newman platform. Number one is, I think a lot of us very familiar period tracker. I think all of us use one. And if you look at the regular period tracker, a lot of them do things like, hey, track how heavy it is, how painful it is, what are the other symptoms associated with it. But the problem is a lot of them don't give that feedback loop. Like I mentioned before, when I talk to women, a lot of them had very painful symptoms for a long time, and they don't. they didn't know that it's not normal. So if we think about it, that means that it has to be a tracker that gives a feedback loop back to the users, telling them whether or not what they're experiencing is normal or not, and giving them a historical overview of if things have progressed worse over time. So that's number one. And number two is a lot of the symptoms that I discussed, you know, you just heard a wide range of symptoms that I just described about endometriosis, for example. So oftentimes, women actually don't know that whatever they're experiencing is actually because of the endometriosis and fibroids. And so there's a lot of education that needs to be done. For example, I didn't know that it's actually not normal to go to pee like 3 times at night, or that I didn't know that it's actually not normal to have like really TMI, really painful when you go to do number two. But they're actually related. If they're chronic, they're actually because, and they can tie back into the endometriosis and fibroids, and not a lot of women know about it. So there's a lot of education that needs to go on. And lastly, I talk about women getting dismissed by doctors, right? And so that means that there has to be some sort of ways for women to kind of help each other to find the doctors. So think of it as like, if you have a friend who suffer from those conditions, of course you can do a consult with them and ask them like, hey, you know, which doctor have you seen that you really love, and can I get the contact information, and etc. So but a lot of us, because women's health and all these conditions is such a taboo, I like personally I actually have really rarely talk about my conditions with my friends. I think maybe only one or two of my closest friends know about those conditions. And so imagine having a way to look up or be recommended physicians that, just like a friend, you know, a friend who suffered from similar conditions, and they can tell you all about how the surgery was, what kind of treatment they have tried, etc. So that's basically what New Moon platform is so far.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot there. And I know that, you know, you're super early stages. Mm-hmm. You mentioned, you know, you recently are now like full-time invested in creating this product. Yes. And there's like so many things here. I'm trying to think like where to start.
Yeah.
So as we've talked about like the whole Roe v. Wade situation, and I'm super curious if that has impacted the way you're thinking about, for instance, creating this period tracker. That's something that, you know, we're hearing a lot for women to try to avoid, try to mm-hmm. find more secure ones that, mm-hmm. you know, government can't get their hands on, because at mm-hmm. this point, we become at risk if they're understanding our cycle, understanding what we're going through. How has that kind of information, and then obviously it's very recent, started helping in developing a way that might be more safe with privacy, securing for women within that the space, especially when you're extremely vulnerable with these types of chronic conditions that mm-hmm. could end up in you being in a situation where if you're not in a safe state, could be life-threatening.
Yeah. I still need to, just for full transparency, I still need to think more about how to approach this issue. I think data security is definitely top of mind with or without Roe v. Wade. And with Roe v. Wade, it's even, you know, something more important. But I think that number one stance that I have is I do not want to sell data. I don't want to sell women's data, you know. And so thinking about, we use a lot of apps and they're free. And when they're free, they're selling us. We are the products. So they're selling our data. So thinking about ways to basically be in business and not make women a commodity. I think that's really important. So, but what does that mean? So to me, it's more of a business model challenge, if that makes sense. And so I was just talking to somebody earlier today. They said, for example, to give you an idea of another startup, I think the name is Poppy Seed Health. And I think their motto is they encourage people who can pay. I might be wrong. I need to look it up further. But from what I understood from the conversation is the people who can pay and some of the revenue, the profits can help people who cannot afford the service. I think that's like a really great way to think about how to make this affordable, make this a paid app while make it affordable for people who might not be able to afford it. And number two is, you know, I'm very curious about, of course, not selling people's data, but is there a way to allow women, because women's health research is so underfunded and under, like, there's not a lot of data. So is there a way to maybe not sell women's data, but have a way for them to opt into having their data be sent to university research, hospital research for endometriosis and fibroids, and then like we just be the middle person, but we are not the one actively trying to sell people's data.
I want to just interject too, sure, just so that listeners can understand, yeah, this thought process, because like we mentioned, obviously the turn of events is very recent.
Yeah.
You know, New Moon is very recent. So what you're listening to is essentially a brainstorm process,
yes,
that a founder, even designers might go through in understanding what are the consequences of what we're building, which have even a bigger impact within the healthcare space. So just to add, mm-hmm, that layer of, you know, what's happening here.
Yeah. And I think just to jump in on the whole ad-based revenue model, I think most, if not eventually, hopefully all healthcare-oriented products will need to move away from that, just because it's also a lot less feasible than it was prior to some of the recent updates that Apple has made. Mm-hmm. Regardless of how you feel about those. And, you know, I think there's cases to be made on whether that's better or worse for consumers. Ultimately, you can't make the kind of revenue that you used to be able to make off of ads. So it's kind of cool because it's pressure from multiple sides, which I think tends to produce more options. There are some really interesting models around sort of like bundling, I would say, different like holistic health, yes, kind of like what I think you're going after in some ways. It sounds like the ability to get, you know, providers and, mm-hmm, medication and information and education in the same place, and the ways in which people are used to paying for or accessing that. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of opportunity here, I think, to innovate as well. Like, you know, to Sarah's point about brainstorming, there's if anyone out there is listening who has, you know, opinions or an interest in innovating on these business models, it's a huge opportunity right now that I think we're seeing.
Yeah,
so I'm curious, sure, to kind of like wrap things up. curious mostly because I talk to a lot of founders these days, and Sarah and I talk to a lot of founders in the women's health space. And I think at certain times, there's more capital and more sort of like interest flowing into the space from investors. And in other times, you know, market conditions kind of dictate otherwise. And I'm super curious, you mentioned that you left to work on this full time. Are you, you know, seeking venture funding at this point in time? How are you starting to build this business from a financial perspective? And also, you know, as an open call, like, who are the kinds of people that you're looking to work with? Are you looking to work with more academics and researchers? Because, you know, like you mentioned, so much of this stuff is so new and there's so many unknowns. Are you looking, you know, to work with people that can help you innovate on the business model? Like, where is the focus right now, and kind of how is this all coming together?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think right now I am not actively seeking for funding because I feel like I came from an engineering and design background, so I would try to do as much as possible on my front. And I think in terms of funding, what I'm struggling with, and this is honestly like a brainstorming session, obviously, but I'll just like say it out loud of what my thought process has been, is that I'm very worried about investors who just want to take advantage of, you know, making money and then turning this into something that's not supposed to be. You know, I think health should not be a commodity. Like, I only want to make money in order to make this business work. You know, so I think finding the right investors who truly deeply care about these issues and really in it for the long haul and not really thinking about scaling because it makes them money or like, et cetera. So I'm kind of worried about that. And I think maybe I'm just overthinking. I mean, femtech and women's health, it's honestly underfunded. Nobody wants to invest in this area. So maybe I'm just like overthinking about this.
It's a very specific niche. I think your fear is very valid based on just the way that we see founders who are VC backed get pressure from investors. And I also think that there are not a lot of female investors. Typically the people that are going to have the deepest connection to this problem are going to be women who've experienced it themselves. Yeah. Like the physical pain you described isn't something I'm, you know, luckily have not had the pain of experiencing, but I think like as someone who has experienced like period cramps, I'm more sympathetic than someone who hasn't experienced any menstrual pain ever. So mm-hmm. there's sort of the spectrum of people who can empathize and have experienced it more deeply. And I think when you talk about alignment of values in investing, it's really going to come down to like, you know, there's in VC, you talk about like qualified investors. Do they have the money? Do they have the knowledge? Do they have the connections? Like, what can they bring to the table? And weirdly enough, in this specific vertical, it's like, have you had an experience? Like, has your, you know, wife, if it's a man, has your wife or mm-hmm. your partner suffered from this in a way that makes you more deeply empathetic? Like, there's a weird sort of very non-traditional qualification process, I would say, towards being the kind of person that maybe is the right fit for you. And I can imagine that's a really interesting challenge. That probably is one of those things where you find a group of people who are, you know, a community maybe. And that's maybe something, I mean, since we're brainstorming, that's maybe something to explore is, I know a lot of early stage startups seek out community-led funding mm-hmm. based on special interest. And it seems like a really interesting fit for something like the solution that you're trying to put together. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to sort of watch this all unfold. And is there anywhere, you know, we can sort of follow along? How are you sharing or documenting your journey and how can people get in touch with you?
Yeah, so I recently started an Instagram and actually I have a really great content writer. Her name is Natalie. She's a therapist by training. And so she has been helping me putting together like a content calendar to basically try to educate, you know, girls and young women on Instagram, you know, these conditions and what to look out for. And so primarily we are focusing on Instagram. That will be a good place to follow. And then I have launched a very simple website. I'm in the process of upgrading it. I'm thinking of doing the, you know, physicians directory on the website because it really honestly doesn't really make much sense to be in an app. So those are the two places.
Awesome. That's definitely mm-hmm. awesome. And I know this episode definitely, you know, had a different interesting turn where we were able to kind of live chat about what that process is like. So definitely let us know if that was something, you know, you enjoyed listening to and want to hear more of. But yeah, we'll definitely be linking New Moon's Instagram, as well as their website, where, you know, you'll be able to reach out to Michelle and contact her if you have ideas, want to collaborate and whatnot, because this is all about supporting one another and ensuring that we're here with an aligned value and focus of improving outcomes for women.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Moss and Friends. As always, you can connect with us further at whoismoss.com or on Twitter and Instagram at whoismoss with underscores between the words. If you know anyone that would be the perfect Moss and Friends guest, or maybe a project you think we should hop in on, please reach out. We'll see you next time.